look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tonight, the 8th chapter, 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read verses 16 through 21, and we'll pray, enjoy a special, and then we'll jump into what we're going to do tonight. 2 Corinthians 8 and verses, 16 through 21, okay? Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book. And if you'd please join me on the odd-numbered verses, and down through verse 21, we're beginning at verse 16. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, his second letter. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Dear Father, thank you for this good passage in our book. What an example it is to us. I pray that you'll help us as a church to, Lord, always be careful with the monies that come in from your people, that which belongs to you, Lord, and that which they give beyond what belongs to you. And thank you, God, for meeting our needs. Help me tonight, Lord, have your wisdom and your grace, your power, as we speak through this these verses and teach a little bit and explain a little bit. And God, give us a wonderful year. We need you. We don't look to our government. We don't look to the corporate world. We look to you, the God of heaven. Lord, you move in situations and you create situations. I know with all my heart to take care of your people. We pray that you'll do that even this year. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Real, and praise God, I'm still serving Him now. Forever changed, I'm forever changed. All things are brand new, I'll tell you it's true, that I'm not the same. When He changed the saved, and now all is well. My forever began when I took the precious hand of Jesus, my Lord. Forever changed, I'm forever changed. All things are brand new, I'll tell you it's true, that I'm not the same. Change my eternal day.
tonight. I want to just talk a little bit tonight, teach a little bit out of the Bible, and then show you some things on the screen about financial accountability. Some of what we saw yesterday, not the entire presentation. I think there were 40-something slides yesterday, maybe 50, but there are about 8 tonight. I just want to give you an overview. We have we have ladies in the church who are widows, and ladies in the church whose husbands don't come, and they give and give faithfully and give regularly. And I don't think it hurts us to share with the entire church the financial information. It will not be as detailed as yesterday, but I do believe the men were right yesterday. Maybe there's not as much explanation sometimes on how to give to certain funds and where did the monies come from, these funds and so forth and so on. So I believe all three of our major funds that I talked about this morning are biblical, and I'll talk about that tonight, and we'll see a few slides along the way and wrap it up and have our announcements and go home. But I do want to give you the Bible basis for all of this. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Dear Father, help me tonight. I thank you so much, Lord, for the faithfulness of these folks. And we can come tonight, Lord. We didn't set records last year in every one of the funds, but we did finish the year in the black and with a surplus. And God, you are good to us. And so there's no need to complain or be ugly or not that at all. Pray that you'll please help this year to be an even better year. God, I trust that the principles and truths that are found in this book tonight will just solidify our giving practices. And Lord, maybe bone up some of the giving practices that need to be boned up. We'll thank you for it. I look to you for help, guidance, and in Jesus' name I ask it, and amen. We have used Paul several times over the years, and his burden, his desire to raise money for the poor Jewish saints in Jerusalem. We've used him to teach many lessons about God's principles of giving. Now, the reason we've done that is because that's what God did in his book. He recorded for us all of this information about the Apostle Paul and his desire to raise this money for the poor Jewish saints. And he recorded it in this book, I believe, for us to learn some financial principles about giving, and especially in this New Testament church age. Now, in these verses that we read tonight, I want to point out, first of all, a procedural matter that Paul followed in order to be above board in the matter of receiving these monetary offerings. Now, you understand, when he went to a Gentile church, they knew in advance that when he came, he was going to take an offering for the poor Jewish saints. They knew that in advance, okay? And so he's traveling on foot, maybe by animal, by horse or whatever, but he's traveling, and he's got all this money. And money coming in from this church, and money coming in from that church, and money coming in from this church. So he's got all this money with him. And he has a procedure in place, a policy, in order to be above board in these financial matters. Look at verse number 16. He says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Titus is an important person in this business of raising this money for these Jewish saints. Titus goes ahead to several of the churches. He goes in advance, like an advance man. And he goes in ahead of the Apostle Paul. He exhorts the people concerning the offering and makes sure that it's ready to go and so forth and so on. Gives the church some last-minute admonitions, if you will, in this special offering. So Titus was deeply involved in these monies that were being raised for these Jewish saints. Look at verse number 18. Actually, verse 17 talks about Titus. "For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you." So, in other words, he showed some initiative in this. He didn't just wait for the Apostle Paul to tell him what to do. It was part of his heart and his plan, and he got into it. So he showed some initiative. Look at verse 18. "And we have sent with him the brother." This is an unnamed man. Cross-reference the verses, and you can't find a name for this guy. Okay? "We have sent with him the brother." Speculate, but we don't know. "Whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." A couple of things about this brother who traveled with Titus and also with the Apostle Paul. He had a good testimony among the churches. "Whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." So this guy had a good testimony amongst other churches in Paul's day. And then verse 19, "And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, this offering. Paul always referred to this offering. He didn't refer to it as a matter of burden. It was always a matter of grace. It was always a matter of blessing. It was always a matter of opportunity. It was always a matter of, it was always a positive thing. It was never a negative thing. And giving to God's work is never a negative thing. It's always positive. And so he's got this man here. And this man was chosen by the churches. So several churches. Now in Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. And then you got Corinth. And maybe other churches. So the churches chose this man. He had a great testimony. He had to be an honest man. He had to be a faithful man, no doubt. So they voted and they said, we want this man to be involved in this work of raising money and being responsible for the accounting of this money. So you got the Apostle Paul and you got Titus and you got this brother. And Paul had a procedural matter here where he wanted some accountability for these funds. He wanted people to know that he wasn't skimming off the top. He wasn't going out to Culver's and getting himself a butter burger, whatever it is, you know, and on money that the people in the church were giving. He wanted everybody to know that this thing was done right. So this was a procedural matter with the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 20. Avoiding this. This is what he said now. This is why he's got all this thing in place here. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us. So the offerings must have been decent. They must have been healthy offerings. And Paul said, here I am, and I've got X amount of dollars from this church. I got X amount of dollars from this church. I got X amount of dollars from this church. I got X amount of dollars from this church. And I want some accountability. I don't want this all on myself. And so I got Titus. And so we got this brother that the churches voted on. The churches chose this third guy. Paul didn't have any say-so in it. They chose him. Say, I want you to travel with this. Just keep everything honest. And Paul said, I want to avoid any possible blame. I don't want any kind of blame when it comes to money. But I can understand that. I'm no Apostle Paul, friend. But that's the last thing in the world a pastor wants, as much liberty and freedom as this church gives me in the financial matters of this church. I don't want any blame. I don't want any doubt. I don't want any question. I don't want that at all. I don't want any kind of a cloud over the finances. That's the Apostle Paul. He didn't want anything like that. Nothing. He wanted to avoid all blame in the matter of the finances. This is what he said in verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You know what I feel like Paul is saying here? I feel like Paul is saying, you know what? I know I'm going to be honest. And God's going to know that. But I want all the people to know it too. I want all the people to know the monies, what goes on with the money. So this is why providing for honest things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of man. In God's eyes and in man's eyes. Folks, it is important to do all things right when it comes to God's service. It is even more crucial when it comes to the finances. No doubt about it, especially those that come from God's people and those monies that belong to him. So Paul had his policies and he had his procedures. And this is why he did it, to provide for honest things in the sight of all the people. This is why we have an annual meeting for the men to see the numbers of what comes in and where it goes and how it accounts and so forth and so on. There are more churches in trouble tonight over finances than over morals. There are more pastors in trouble tonight over misappropriation of funds than in immorality. That's the honest truth. There's a lot of pastors in trouble tonight because of misappropriation of funds. You understand that misappropriation of designated money can land me in jail. Okay? It can put me in jail. So it's a pretty serious matter. To me, anyway. And that's why it may not be to you. Maybe you'll come visit me, okay? Bring me a piece of peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Don't forget the potato chips, please, all right? This is why we had this meeting, and I understand all the men can come. We had a wonderful turnout yesterday, but it came up yesterday in the meeting that, you know, maybe there's more explanation that needs to be done to the general church about how the money is distributed and how it gets into what fund and so forth and so on. And so I thought, you know what, if that's what the men feel, then that's what we need to do. And I'm going to take a few of these slides tonight, and I want to show all the church some of what I showed the men yesterday, and I want to say a thank you to Brother Jason Minkowski. But Jason has an accounting degree. I don't know where from, But anyway, I really don't know where from. But anyway, he's got an accounting degree. He does a very good job working on it. He handles all the finances, and now he has a secretary that helps him in that, doing a good job, taking some of the weight off. And he works very hard at making the numbers, you know, and making the numbers all fit right and everything, making sure everything's in the right place. You understand, folks, we have a petty cash bag in that office back there. It's for minor purchases that just come up, you know. And we put $125 a week in that petty cash bag. But that money is not just spent and unaccounted for. If a quarter is spent out of that bag, it is assigned to the proper expense account. One 25-cent quarter, that's all. If somebody needs money in that thing for something immediate comes up, they go in. There's a piece of paper in there. They have to fill out every line on that paper, the date, what it's for, who took it, how much it was. And if it's a purchase, then we have to bring the receipt in with the change and clip the receipt to the piece of paper and put all the change back in the bag, and it all has to minus out. And then when that thing, if it's a, okay, here's a missionary comes in, and we always treat a missionary to a meal. Most of them like to eat after church. Some eat before church. But here's a missionary who says, no, you know what? I need to get on the road, so we're not going to sit down and eat. We want to give them $25 if it's a man and his wife. Maybe give them a $20 bill, pull through one of these fast food places, grab a brown bag, and keep heading down the road. So we go to that bag. We take a $20 bill out. It's marked on a piece of paper. We don't get that receipted, because the entire $20 gift was a gift to the missionary. You understand that, okay? But that's charged to the missions fund. Every quarter is accounted for. Every dollar is accounted for. It's not just spent, okay? And so, believe it or not, it takes a lot of paperwork to keep up with that kind of thing. Of course, computers help. And once in a while, it's very easy to hit a wrong number. If you hit one wrong digit on a four-number account, you assign something to the wrong category. So it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of effort, and they do a great job at it. And I want to show you tonight some of what I showed the men yesterday. So Brother Jason, pull that back in place, and we're going to look at some of these slides. And then I want to explain the slide. I want to explain from the Bible perspective why we do what we do here at the church. Now, the opening is kind of fun, so we'll watch the opening, okay? Come on back. Can you all see in the balcony? Okay. Here we go. And it plays on its own, then we'll get into it. That's enough to scare you right there, I'll tell you. That's funny. Okay, here's this first slide. Oh, boy, the numbers are probably very small for some of you sitting in the back. This is the totals for the year 2008. Just a very specific slide as far as the totals go, okay? General fund, left-hand column, missions fund, right-hand column, top the income, expense, and then the difference. The general fund income for the year, $661,846.62. That's money that comes in the tithes and offerings on in the plate, okay? That's not reimbursed monies that we talked about yesterday, fellas. That's the money that comes in. Tithes and offerings, that comes from our church. Excuse me, that comes from our department and the Spanish church. All right, so that's where that comes from. Okay, the expenses, and the general fund, 593,040.39, which left a positive balance in our general fund of $68,806.23 for the year. Missions fund, 141,799.27. The expenses, $154,328.66. So we spent $12,529 more than we took in 08 in missions. We try to set a missions budget, faith promise budget, based on the commitments and the money that comes in. The money tailed off at the end of the year. We were under what we should have been for the missionaries, but we had a surplus from the previous year. And just things that we did through the year for missionaries and so forth, so on, special gifts. And so there was a minus $12,529.39 in the missions fund for the year 2008. Okay, building fund money comes in and goes out. Comes in and goes out. There is no surplus money in the building fund. Okay, next slide, Brother Jason. I believe this is the one that will show you. Here's our income funds. Okay, this is what maybe I feel like we need to do a little bit more explaining on. You got three income funds here at Faith Baptist Church. That's the general fund, the missions fund, and the building fund. That's the three income funds here at the church. Okay? Next slide. Look at the general fund while he's putting that slide up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay? Turn over your Bibles there to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 13. Here's where the general fund money. Let me explain why I think the church ought to have a general fund from a biblical perspective, and then we'll show you. We'll explain this slide that's up on the screen right now. Paul is writing the same church at Corinth, and look what he says in verse number 13. He says, chapter 9, verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Now, this is a reference to the Old Testament giving with the temple, the tabernacle, and so forth. The Jewish people were to bring the tithe of their increase into the temple or the tabernacle, then the temple later on after it was permanent. And he says right here, he says, don't you know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? There were men who were in the full-time service of the operation of the temple and tabernacle. They were the priests and others who worked with the priests. There were singers at the temple, especially later on when the temple became a permanent structure. There were singers, and they were full-time. I won't go all in detail, but the priest came from the tribe of Levi. The Levitical priesthood, when they gave land out to all the tribes of Israel, they gave this much land to Reuben, they gave this much land to Judah, they gave this much land to Gad, this much land to Dan, this much land to Asher, this much land to Naphtali. They didn't give any land to the men in the tribe of Levi. The Levites had no land. So they didn't have a place to run any herds and flocks. They didn't have any place to raise any crops. They didn't have any land to work to raise any money, to have any income and so forth. Because they worked, if you will, at the tabernacle or the temple. So the people from the tribe of Naphtali and Dan and Asher and Gad and Judah and Reuben and so forth, they brought the tenth of their increase to the temple. And the priests from the tribe of Levi lived off what they brought in. Okay. Now, there were times when the priests got greedy, and there was avarice and greed in the Old Testament. And the sons of Eli were taking more than what should have been taken, and God was displeased with that and dealt in judgment with them, and so forth and so on. But that's what this is a reference to. Paul said, "Don't you remember how it was in the Old Testament when the Jews brought the tithe in and they brought it to the altar?" And the priests, those who minister about holy things, live of the things of the temple. They didn't go out and have a job on the side. They didn't sell insurance. And they didn't sell cars. And they didn't do anything else. They lived of the things of the temple. Look at verse 14. Even so, in this New Testament age, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I don't believe personally, and I wouldn't argue with anybody about this because for another reason I'll say later, but I don't believe that the New Testament abolishes the tithe. I don't think you can abolish that 10% belonging to the Lord's. I believe the Lord. I believe the tithe is His. I believe it belongs to Him. And I believe that to be biblical, the tithe goes to the general fund of the church. And it does today what it did in Paul's day and what it did in the Old Testament day. The tithe is the money that funds the operation of the ministry of the church. And so forth and so on. Now, so our general fund comes from the money that makes up our general fund. That 600 and whatever it was, 1,000 you saw on that screen just a moment ago. That's tithe income, and that's other income. When we say other income, we have pop machines. And we take the money out of the pop machines, and we don't just take that and spend it. Okay, go out to Red Lobster or something, you know, and sell more pop and eat better. We don't do that, okay? Pop machine money comes in, it goes into other income. And we have, there really is no interest income for the general fund anymore. And then the Spanish department's income, okay? Whatever tithes and offerings they have in their church upstairs, whatever comes in, I should have had a tithe envelope, Brother Thomas, maybe there's one right in front of you there. Whatever comes in these envelopes that's marked in this first box, all the way on the left-hand column, says tithes and offerings. Whatever figure somebody puts in there, that goes in that general fund. That's where that money comes from. I think that's where we start our giving. And I'm not sure 10% is even giving. That's just being honest. I think God designed that 10% to fund His work. He designed that 10% to fund His work in the Old Testament. And I believe He's designed that 10% to fund His work in the New Testament day and age. So I believe this is what, even so, in this New Testament day and age, as a member of a New Testament church, I bring at least 10%, that is God's money, to Him, to His church, so that it can be used for this category. So hit the next slide, Brother Jason. So that we can fund the operation of Faith Baptist Church. Here are the general fund budgeted expense accounts. We have a payroll account. That's the salaries of all the staff here at the church, full-time and part-time. It's the personnel. We have a personnel expense account. That's housing allowance and health insurance and so forth and so on. And what we do for health insurance here is Samaritan Ministries. It's scary to a lot of people, but it works for us. We use that. We also use a supplemental health account. We save, on my family, we probably save, from what we were paying, we probably save $300 a month on my family. That's $3,600 a year on one family, okay, with Samaritan Ministries. I'm not putting a plug in for it. Maybe it won't work for you, but if you don't have traditional insurance, Charis surgery, Charis appendectomy, was $27,000, I believe, when it was all said and done. Got discounts of $12,000 from the hospital, the doctors, and so forth and so on, anesthesiologist, and end up being $15,000, and I didn't pay a dime, and the church didn't pay a dime. That all came in from other people who are part of the Samaritan Ministries. Now, if you've got traditional insurance, you'd at least have to pay a deductible. So it works for us, and so it's what we use. That's part of personnel expense. Then you got buildings and grounds, the upkeep of the buildings God has given us. And, people work hard here to keep the buildings up, and I think we ought to try to help them. I said yesterday, I'll say that the building across the street over there is taking more abuse on Sunday night during Sunday night men's basketball than at any other time during the week. And I think that's a shame. And I'm not talking about just the one incident that happened recently. I'm talking about since we started. It's out of control, fellas. We're not NBA. Okay? Play, have fun, and just be calm. I'm serious. And it's not just, somebody stepped on those brand new ping pong tables. There's a wood stabilizer in the bottom that keeps the table stabilized. Somebody just stepped right in the middle of it, just broke it right in half. There's a hole in the wall that's got to be repaired over there by the closet door. If more abuse takes place on Sunday than Monday through Friday in the school, I think we could do a better job taking care of that building. Okay, so please help us with that. Okay, please help us with that. Buildings and grounds. Transportation, that's gasoline, that's bus ministry, bus insurance, so forth and so on. The church maintains one of the vehicles for the pastoral staff, not both of our We can have three or four cars, but the church only takes care of one of them. The rest is our responsibility. That all comes through there, and office administration, and that's all the paperwork and everything in the office, the toner, the ink, whatever you can't imagine. And it's incredible, folks, how much paper is used in office buildings, and you folks that work in those places know it's crazy. We try to double use, if we have a sheet of paper that's a report to look at, and then it would be thrown away, we try to put it in a box and use the other side of it for another report so that we save. You say, well, how much does one piece of paper cost? Over a month, over 12 months, you can't believe how much that adds up. Reams and reams and reams of paper. Reams and reams of paper. So you got office administration, then you got ministries and programs. So when I fill out my tithe check and I show what part of it goes into tithes and offerings, that's what the money, I think, this is my opinion, I believe God designed it, Old Testament, New Testament, the tithe, the first fruits of our increase, the 10% of our increase, I believe he designed it to fund the ministry of the temple in the Old Testament, New Testament church in this day and age. OK, so this is what this money's for. Now, you know, so when you put the tithe in, that's what it goes for, the general fund. And look, people who hold the tithe and you refuse to give it to the general fund of a church and then give it all to a missionary are really not following the New Testament example. They're not following. And they used to, well, it's my money. I just want to put my money. It's not your money. Your whole perception, your whole outlook is goofy. It's not your money. It's God's money. It's God's money. So you got to be careful about that, folks. Okay? And this is what the 10% of our increase goes in the general fund, I believe. And God's designed that to take care of the ministry of the church. I believe we begin at the tithe. That's what the Jews used to fund the operation of the temple. It is what we use to fund the operation of the New Testament church. But then, this is the New Testament day and age, and Jesus wasn't satisfied with just the tithe or just the letter of the law. We go beyond that when we get to grace giving and in the age of grace. And this is where your other funds come in. Okay, Brother Jason? So we have a missions fund income, all right? I'm not going to turn to all the scriptures that deal with that tonight, but we're close here. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, the mission fund money. This is going beyond the 10%. This is getting into, just beginning to get into the area of grace giving. And you see here Paul talking about this in chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. We've seen these verses many times. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? He's not talking about the fact that salvation is free. He's saying he came in to preach and he didn't charge admission. He didn't sell tickets. Come hear me preach $5 a head. We wouldn't do very well, folks, if we did that, I'm afraid, all right? So he says, I preached the gospel of God to you without charge. I didn't take anything from you, not a dime. Look at verse 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages, that's payment, stipend, taking wages of them to do you service. Paul said, the way how I lived when I came to Corinth, I didn't take any money from you. He said, the other churches sent me money. And that's how I ate, and that's how I lived, and that's how I made my living when I was there preaching to you. And look what he says in verse number 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, he said, things got tight, and I got to where I needed some money. He said, I was chargeable to no man. He didn't go to anybody in Corinth and borrow $5. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. Those fellows came from those churches in Macedonia, Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica. They came with the offerings, said to the Apostle Paul, Paul, we know you're down here preaching and doing the work of God. Here's your money. Here's your support for this month. And that's how Paul made his living. Now, folks, I believe giving to missionaries so they can preach the gospel is in that New Testament right there. It's in the book. That's why we have a missions fund. And so, when I write out my tithe, my check for giving, I put X amount in this box over here, goes in the general fund. I put X amount in this box, goes into the missions fund. And that's where that money comes from. Faith promise, missions giving, designated. What is a designated missions offering? Well, Brother Jeff Porter comes here on a Sunday night. He presents his work, and we take an offering for Jeff Porter. $670 comes in for Jeff Porter. That's a designated offering. So it goes in the mission fund. We round it up to $700, and we give him a check as a love offering for $700. That's exactly what happened to Brother Porter here about 2 or 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night when he was here. The offering was about $670-something. We rounded it up to $700, and that's where he got his love offering, okay? So that's what a designated missions offering is. And Spanish faith promise is what our faith promise is. That's the mission fund, missions fund of our church. And that's where the money comes from, that missions fund. Okay? Next slide is our building fund. Here's the third fund. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's the expense. Here's the expenses of the missions account. All the faith promise money goes to designated support. All those missionaries on the wall out there receive support. The church voted years ago to set $2,000 a year aside for missions trips. Sometimes that gets used. Sometimes it doesn't. If we go on a missions trip, that's what that's paid for out of that. Surplus expenses, if we want to give a missionary $1,000 to help him with a building or to help him with a language project or something, that's where that comes from. We support our missions conference, fund our missions conference out of that, and designated Spanish support is that the Spanish department supports three Hispanic missionaries. That's where all that money is spent, okay, from our missions fund. Next slide, please, Brother Jason. This is the building fund. It's the third income fund, building fund. In the books of Exodus and Ezra and First Chronicles, God's people were admonished to bring money to help build a building. And I've said this before, they gave money for building purposes before they gave it to missionaries. And I'm for giving money to missionaries. I think it's biblical. But, you know, in our minds, it's all building fund is always third rung. You know, but truth of the matter is, God's people have been given to buildings longer than they've been given to missions. All right? All through the Old Testament. Vision Unlimited. That's the name we gave the first program that we started back in 1995 to raise money for the building needs. We called it Vision Unlimited. That was Brother Gomez's program. He came here. Brother Woodward, some other guys. Brother Edwards came. John Vaprazan came. We had a lot of guys come in, preach a little bit. And we did that for 6 years or so, 7 years or so. And that we just kept that name, Vision Unlimited. That's the building fund giving, special programs. That's the yard sale. That's the craft and bake sale. That's the golf outing. And then any interest income from our savings account goes into the building fund. So that's how that money is. That's where it comes from. Next slide, Brother Jason. This is how the money is spent. The money is spent on the new building. Back up. The money is spent on the new building mortgage payment. Okay. We spend $6,000 out of our general fund towards our mortgage payment. The balance of the mortgage payment is made up from the building fund. We need about $5,000 a month, not quite, about $5,000 a month to make the building fund payment. So the money that comes in, that third box right there, building fund, the money that comes in goes to make that mortgage payment. If we get a bunch of building fund money like we did in 07, then it's prepaid on the principal and knocks it down. And that's what we do with the excess building fund money. It doesn't sit around. If it comes in, it goes to prepay on the principal. But that's the only expense out of that fund right there is the mortgage. Okay? Next slide, Brother Jason, please, sir. Here's the proposed budget summary for this new year, for the year 2009. We have a proposed general fund income of $656,698. I believe that should match the first figure that we saw. It was the general fund income in 08. We don't add it. We don't project an increase. We don't add 2%. We don't do anything like that. We take the exact money that came into the general fund in 08, and that becomes our 09 budget number. There's our proposed expenses for the year, 576,333. That should leave us a profit or a balance of $80,365. There's surplus expenses that come up in a year that eat into that $80,000. The goal is to minimize those surplus expenses, make them very few. In the missions fund, there's not much room for error. We took the income from last year. This is our budget for the new year, $137,260, which leaves us a profit of $2,090. We're projecting what we need to come in for the building fund, $60,000. That'll all go out. I hope it's more than that. Okay? So that's where the numbers come from for general fund, missions fund, and building fund. I think that's the last slide, isn't it, Jason? And the total projected surplus, you can't see that, is $82,455. Is that it? Okay, that's it. All right, so shut it down, and let me finish up here tonight. Now, that's how the money takes, that's what happens. Let me say what I said again this morning. You write a check out and just put it in the offering plate. It's not in an envelope. There's nothing on the memo of the check. All that money goes in the general fund. So how do we do it? You say, well, I meant for part of that to go to the building fund. I meant for part of that to go to the missions. That's why there's an envelope. Okay? And I know some of you write it on the memo. One person wrote, same as always. Funny, unless you're counting it. You know, it's funny unless you're counting it. Same as always. What does that mean? Folks, it doesn't take much time to take your check and put it in this envelope and break it down, okay? That way I think maybe some of the fellows think that some of the building fund money didn't get appropriated to the building fund. Should have been more in the building fund. If it's not marked, we don't know it's building. Okay? Okay? So we need you to be diligent about these offering envelopes and dividing it up as it's supposed to be, putting the total over here. And so we have a special evangelist in. You know we're going to have a love offering like Christmas time. There's the special. It's just right there. It's very easy to do. And you would do us a great service by using the envelopes that are in the pews on a weekly basis or biweekly, however you give. Now, let me say this. Give you two or three things and I'm going to be done. I think, number one, everybody should give God his money in the general fund of the church. Everybody. I don't care for how the church uses my money. Look, I'm concerned about you knowing how the money goes out. I'm concerned about being accountable to you. But I'm more concerned that he is pleased how his money is used. Okay. I believe that everybody should give God his money in the general fund of the church. So I just have what I believe. And I think if we do that, we're okay. Number two, if you choose to go beyond the tithe and get into grace giving, that should go to missions or building or split it between the two. I believe this is where faith in giving comes in. Let me ask you not to do this. Please don't ever write down something that you hope you can give. I'd like to give First Vision Unlimited back in 1995. I had a single mother who wrote on her slip $225 a week. $225 a week. And I knew the situation. I think that was her heart. I threw it away. You say, Pastor, why would you do that? Don't you have any faith? Folks, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. I don't think faith is stepping out on nothing. Faith is stepping out on the promises of God. And God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you give out of what you have. If we all gave what we want, if we just put on a piece of paper what we'd like to give, wouldn't that be fun? I'd like to give $500 a week to missionaries. I'd like to give $500 a week to the building fund. Well, so would you. Yeah, man, our budget would be in. Come on, you can't do that. You give out of what you have. Now, where faith comes in, here's where faith comes in. I would say the vast majority of the folks in this church need the money that comes in their paycheck. And after you give your tithe and you look at your bills and you say, okay, this is all that's discretionary. Okay? And I know I'm going to need part of that discretionary income. Faith is giving part of what I know I'm going to need to missions or to building and trusting God to provide what I need because that's what He promised He would do. That's what He promised in the missions. He said, you give, when you supply the missionary's need, I'll supply your need. That's where faith comes in. It's giving need money and then watching God provide. Now, wait a minute, folks. If past poor financial practices have placed you in trouble, then, you know, you're going to have to dig out in order to be able to give. And I've talked to, I don't know any of you here tonight, but there's been two or three times over the years when I looked a brother in the face and said, what you need to do is tithe and that's it. That's all you need to do right now. Tithe and that's it. And get yourself out of a mess. Get yourself out of this situation. And so if poor financial practices have placed you in a pickle, you're going to have to dig for a while to be able to give. If you don't give because money is tied up in the internet, cable television, high-def plasma screen, out-of-control cell phone bill. If I got to send AT&T $400 because I yak on the cell phone. Out-of-control eating habits at Mickey D's and Burger King and other places. If that's why you can't give, folks, then you got to decide what's more important, the high-def plasma screen or taking the gospel to people who've not heard. All the services that make it life so convenient or getting the gospel to people who are on their way to hell. So, you're going to have to make a choice there. And I hope that you'll think spiritually about things. Now, I'm not against some of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. We can cumber ourselves with so much stuff in this day and age, we don't have no room for God. No room for God. So be careful about that, okay? That's beyond tithe. That's into grace giving. That's giving out of what I may need. But I'm going to trust God to give back and take care of my needs, okay? I'm not going to just put down on a piece of paper what I'd like to do that I don't have. Oh, man, I'd love to give $1,000 a week, so that's what I'm going to put down. We'll talk about that. And I'll tell you, I'll say it again. God is far more concerned what we do with the $10 that we do have than He is the $1,000 that we don't have. It's easy to talk about what we do with stuff we don't have. It's easy to talk about coaching the football team when you're not the coach. God's far more concerned with the $5 bill that I could give than He is the $500 that I don't have. So you think about that for a while. Number three, God will prove Himself faithful. Now, He will, friend. When we give need money, God doesn't always make His deposits immediately. You see, as we talked about, I think, to the young people in chapel on Tuesday, God sees everything from beginning to end at one time. And we give need money to God, and we think that we need it now. And God says, uh-uh. I know you're going to need it more over here. And He comes through. He always comes through at His good time. He always, this was years ago, I think it was 1995, fifth anniversary of my being here, and the men of the church got together and bought me a semi-guided elk hunt out in Colorado. I forget the name of the town right now in Colorado. It starts with an M. But anyway, and Brother Coral was going. And Brother Sharp, I think Brother Sharp was the one that put it together. And Brother Woodward and Brother Gomez and myself, Montrose, Colorado. And the church bought me a semi-guided hunt. And I forget how much it was. And semi-guided. They took us out the first day and showed us the area. And then we were on our own after that. And that was fine. We enjoyed it that way. The church paid for the hunt. But there were other expenses that came along with the thing that the church didn't pay for. And that's okay. It didn't matter to me. But the church paid the biggest bulk of it, but I had to get out there, and I had to do this, and I had to do that. And so I'm getting ready to go, and I got to have money for a plane ticket, and I got to have money for this and all that. And I go out to a church in southwest Iowa for a Friday night and a Saturday morning meeting. And I picked my brother-in-law, Brad Cranston, up, and Luke and Bradley were with us. They were little boys then in 1995. And we drove out there, and the boys got sick. Right on the outskirts of town, they got sick. And we had to turn around and take them back to Burlington, and then Brad and I went by ourselves, and I got sick. And I was sick while I was there, and I had a fever, and I spoke Friday night, and I chilled all night Friday night, and I spoke Saturday morning, and I was just sick as a dog and trying to talk and everything. And when we got ready to go, the guy said, well, thank you for coming. He said, I'll send you something in the mail someday. So I said, okay. And so I got in the car, drove back from Southwest Iowa, dropped Brad off at Burlington, and came home to Bourbonnais here. And, that was like in the early part of the summer. Now, we were given to Faith Promise Missions, and you know what else started in June of 1995? Our building fund giving. So I'm giving this money to Faith Promise Missions. I'm giving this money to the building fund to the tune of about $85 a week. $85 a week is over $320 a month. That would more than pay for the airplane ticket, more than pay for the other things that I had to pay for to go on this elk hunt. And be honest with you folks, this is honest to God's truth. I forgot about that church, the pastor. I forgot about that meeting. Weeks went by, nothing. I forgot about it. We come down to five or six days before the trip was to take place. And somebody brings the mail in, one of the ladies, and they put it in my tray. And here's an envelope from Calvary Baptist Church in this town in Southwest Iowa. And to be honest with you, I didn't even recognize it to begin with. When I opened it up, here was a check and a note. Brother Angel, here's your love offering, $500. I was shocked. I spoke two times. Drove all out there and back. Spent weeks. And God sent that money for me to have what I needed to go on that trip 6 days before I left. Now that's one story. I could tell you story after story after story where God always makes good on His promise. He always makes good. Sometimes it lets us sweat a while. But that's okay. He always keeps His word. And when you and I give need money that we could use for something else legitimate, for the purpose of missionaries or building fund or whatever, God will provide. Now, that's how it happens. And that's how it's happened for these years, these 18 years, 18, almost be 19, this Lord willing, this coming June. God has been good to us. You've got general fund, you've got missions fund, and you've got building fund. That's where the money comes from. That's what it's spent on. That's the totals from last year. I want to encourage you, you be sure that you obey God in the area of your giving. Okay? If you haven't prayed about missions, and I mean, you know, we've got a missions conference coming up. And I guess I didn't see the missions giving going down. We got five missionary families coming that are new to us. We've got a furloughing missionary family. We got Brother Vineyard coming, fresh from Gaza Strip and the Golan Heights. He ought to have something to say for sure. And so I hope that you'll pray about missions. I really mean that. I hope you'll pray about missions. And if you have not given, now listen, we lost $38,000 between 07 and 08. In our building giving, $38,000. That's a lot of cash. You know, we did have another slide up there, didn't we? I was going to show you how much the principal's come down on the loan, but that's all right. It's too late now. But the principal has come down since we started our construction project and had that line, that construction loan. Our principal has come down $140,000. That's a tremendous amount. But somehow we didn't take in $38,000 that we took in 07. So there had to be a lot of people give up on the building fund. Now, if that's how it has to be, that's how it has to be. But please, you search your heart, you search the mind of the Lord, you do as God leads. Okay? We made it. God was good to us. We're in good shape. Got no complaints. That's the financial picture. That's what I showed the men yesterday. And I appreciate them speaking from their heart and being honest about the fact that maybe we need to be a little bit more clear about in the church about where. So maybe we'll start doing this on an annual basis one night on a Sunday night and showing you these totals. Okay? Let's stand together, please. I appreciate your patience tonight. And let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your goodness to us. And God, I it would be better, I guess, to report that the building fund went up and the missions fund went up. But God, we can't do that. I do thank you, dear Lord, for giving us the wherewithal to make all the missionary support and to make all the building payments and to bring the principal down. And Lord, to keep working at it, I pray that God, you'll bless your people in this year of 2009. Give us a good year. Speak to hearts. And Lord, make us faithful, please. And God, I know you'll be faithful to us. That's something I've learned. You are always faithful to us. So help us tonight. Be obedient to you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.